Hey, this is Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching. So let's get ready to get in the Word of God. I want you to go with me to John chapter number 11. I am starting a new teaching series for the next couple of weeks, and it is entitled Unlocking My Faith. The teaching series that we did last month was entitled Understanding Faith. So we really focus on just understanding the foundational and the fundamental aspects, attitudes, and actions of faith. Just understanding faith. Now, for this follow-up teaching series, we're going to focus on unlocking my faith. Unlocking my faith. And so John chapter number 11, and it's a familiar story. It is the story of Lazarus. And I know many of you already know it's about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And I don't want you to get too ahead of me, because I do believe there are some very specific, strategic, important truths that God wanted to extract out of there for when it comes to extracting our faith. So go to John chapter number 11. We want to look at verses 1 through 7, 1 through 7. And then we're going to jump down probably to like verse number 20, maybe like verse, let's go to verse, we'll drop down to like verse number 25. We're going to go to 25. But I want to go to 1 through 7. 1 through 7. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Drop down. Well, go to verse 17. So Jesus receives the message, receives the text, receives the email, receives the TikTok message, receives the Instagram post that whom you love, Lazarus is sick. Jesus acknowledges, got the message. But then he tells his disciples, instead of going to the house, hurry up and getting there, he's like, everything gonna be all good. Let's just go back to Judea. Now watch verse 17, because now this is after Lazarus has died, after they've had the funeral, after they've eaten the chicken, after everybody got a to-go plate, after everybody's going back to their homes. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives in me by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticing how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then Jesus said, "See how he loved him." Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have always heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Take a deep breath. That was some reading. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Unlocking my faith. Here's the theme that I want you guys to really get in grasp. Each of us can identify times in our lives when we struggle to believe at the level that would manifest God's promises and our prayers in our lives. Those times where we have struggled, we are struggling, to believe at the level that would manifest God's promises and our prayers in our lives. Our faith is stuck, or it is paralyzed in a present condition due to discouragement or disappointment. However, God will always strategically use problems to unlock or liberate our faith, for believing Him beyond our perceived dead ends and deadlines. I'm going to say it again. God will use problems to unlock, to liberate our faith past our perceived deadlines and dead ends. One of the most helpful and insightful truths about your faith, your confidence in God, my faith journey, my confidence in God, is recognizing and understanding that my faith has been given, your faith has been given, not to be static, but dynamic. I'm going to say it again. That our faith has been given not to be static, but to be dynamic. So the scripture says through the Apostle Paul, I think in the book of Romans, he takes us from faith to faith. So faith is never given to be stationary. It is given to be mobile. As a matter of fact, a careful study of the topic of faith will show you that our faith is to go to the places and to the levels and to the degrees or to the classifications, descriptions of being called to the maturation of our faith, the perfecting or perfection of our faith, and the completion of our faith. So our faith is never given to be a permanent resident of one season or one level of life. Teach, Pastor Roy. I'm going to say it again. Our faith is never given to be a permanent resident of one season or one level of life. And that doesn't always mean bad. I'm talking about good. So I can have a great season of life, but my faith is never going to be a permanent resident just of a season of abundance. Just like you live in this world, there are four seasons. Now, we had an interesting discussion. Some of us were talking, I think this past Sunday after the corporate gathering, we were just saying like, hey, you know, where would you live if you could just really live anywhere? And some people were saying like, you know, what about the West Coast? And some people said, I said Arizona. Yeah, like, man, just the weather, you know, goodness. Somebody was like, you're going to have a hot winter, you know, and then somebody else talking about, what about Miami or going down south? But even with dreaming and thinking, you want to be in that perfect place, but you recognize that it takes four seasons to have a whole year. And even with your faith is never given to just be a resident of one season. It won't just have a season of abundance. It won't just have a season of transition. It won't just have a season of hardship and trying. It won't just have a season of new things and new beginnings. Our faith is constantly on the move. It is constantly growing. Now, here is the challenge. The challenge now becomes for you and I to make sure that we don't allow our faith to become a slave to this world's standards, schedules, or schemes. So the challenge now is I got to make sure this faith that God has given me does not become a slave or enslaved, entrapped to this world's standards, schedules, or schemes or even the systems. Because once my faith and your faith becomes enslaved to how this world functions through its standards, systems, schemes, now my faith is going to be locked. It's going to be locked, because if that system fails, if that standard is not upheld, if that scheme don't come into manifestation, now my faith becomes locked at that present place. Right there, my faith becomes locked. And now, let me be very clear. When I talk about a faith being locked, and even when we say the unlocking of our faith, it is not an indication that we don't love God. It is not even an indication that we don't submit to His will or to His word. What we are talking about is that my faith is no longer at the place of potency and vibrancy like it should be. That my faith has been injured. It has been compromised. It has been restricted. And I am no longer believing God like I know I should be believing God. I'm not as expectant like I know to be. I'm not as enthusiastic about the promises of God like I should be. Because now the enemy has convinced me to live for and to settle for a life that is less rewarding and less fulfilling than what God has promised. Now it's not about the fullness of His blessings and His promises. Now I start accommodating living beneath the privileges of being God's son or being God's daughter. And I'm going to give you two things that, two ways our faith becomes locked. Two reasons, really, our faith becomes locked. You ready? These are just sub points. Number one, or one of the reasons our faith becomes locked is unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. Now, let me say this up front. 1 John tells us that God answers every prayer. 1 John tells us, if we ask anything according to His will, this is the confidence we have. We know He hears us and we have whatever we ask for. God answers every prayer. He just may not answer it the way we want Him to, and He may not answer it in the time that we like Him to answer. But God answers every prayer. But my faith becomes locked when I come to a conclusion that God is not answering my prayer. See, God says I answer every prayer, but when I come to the conclusion, when it seems like the conclusion is God didn't answer, God won't answer, God hasn't answered, then my faith becomes locked. Because you know what happens? That negative, false, erroneous conclusion now leaves me with this thinking, this believing that life is hopeless or helpless in that area. It won't change. Why? Because God didn't answer. So now I am just God ain't going, so I'm hopeless and I'm helpless. So this sense of, this false sense of unanswered prayer causes my faith to get locked, to get stuck. Here's number two, unresolved pain. Unresolved pain or unresolved hurt. The more pain is unresolved, the more pain is unresolved, is unhealed, the open wounds lead to an infected faith. The more my faith, or the more my pain, my hurt is unhealed, unresolved, it infects my faith, because now I started allowing and opening the door for negative voices to come in and say, see, you can't trust God. See, God isn't going to come through. And really, what this really boils down to is what is hurt, or where we hurt in life usually get more attention than where we're healed in life. These are some good appetizers. Where we are hurt in life typically get more attention than where we're healed in life. People like to talk about what's wrong more than what's going right. And so when I have unresolved hurt, I nurse it, I curse it, I rehearse it. And that brings me into a cycle of dysfunction that's not healthy for my faith. And this really is an issue of one thing. It is, can I trust the sovereignty of God? Can I live my life by confidence in God's sovereignty, even when I feel like I don't have closure or an explanation for what He's doing and how He's doing it? Because sometimes closure isn't an explanation. Closure is a resolution. It is my resolve to trust God beyond what makes sense, what I can't control and what I can't comprehend. So there's just two ways our faith becomes locked: when we perceive unanswered prayer and when we have unresolved pain or unresolved hurt. Now, so how do I unlock my faith? I'm going to give you four ways you and I can unlock our faith. And if I'm talking to you, making sense to you, I just want you in the comment line. I just want an emoji that speaks to being unlocked. Whatever that is. Maybe that's a woman running. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's a man running. I don't even know if there's an emoji for like a lock that's unlocked. Maybe it's doors open. Maybe it's the gates are open. I just want you to put an emoji in right now that speaks to something being open, something being unlocked. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's a key. But go ahead and drop your emoji in right now. Put it in the comment line. So we're going to use this familiar story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I wanted to read the first parts because I think it's so important. Because John says, these are people who love God. This story probably would be less intimidating if it was just somebody who didn't love God. But it is very clear. They were worshipers. They loved God. And Jesus loved them. An intimate relationship. They send this request, whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus acknowledges, I got the message. But then he stayed where he was two more days, and he doesn't show up until Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Not one day, not a couple of hours. He shows up 4 days. The death certificate has been filed. They have already packed up Lazarus' room. They have already decided to move on. We got to move on. And then here comes Jesus strolling into town. And it becomes a lesson for you and I about how to unlock our faith. Number one, I must locate my faith. I must locate my faith. Because in verse 34, Jesus says to Martha, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? This is very significant. God can never restore anything in our lives without us first starting with where our faith ended, where it lessened, where it was lost, and where we left it. Because see, throughout this story, what I'm playing off of is that Lazarus represents our faith. It represents our faith. We go to God with a problem and an issue, and God seemingly does not answer the prayer. We're still hurting, and then we put our faith in a tomb. We put our faith on the shelf. And it is so important that the first thing Jesus says to her is, show me where you laid him. Show me, locate where your faith was lost, where you decided to leave your faith, or where your faith was lessened. Because God cannot renew, God cannot unlock, God cannot restore faith until we go to the point of, this is where I am. Again, just like the kiosk, and you are here. If you're lost and you need directions, what's the first question someone asks you? Where are you? I can't, watch this, we can't move to where we should be until we admit where we are. We can't move to where we should be until we admit where we are. That's the same type of principle that God practices with Adam. Where are you? You got to locate your faith. Here's where my faith was lessened in God. Here's where I lost it in God. Here's where I left it. That can be because of a divorce, because of unemployment. It can be because of a misunderstanding. It can be because of frustration. Here is where my faith was lessened, where I lost it, where I left it. Locate your faith. Listen to this. If we show God where we dropped our faith, then God can show us how to pick up our faith. If we show God where we dropped our faith, then God can show us how to pick up our faith. Because here's what I've discovered with God. Even when you look at the life of Lazarus and Jesus, every tomb is nothing but a womb in God's eyes. Every tomb is nothing but a womb in God's eyes. Man, if we was in church, I would tell somebody to run and shout for me. What do you mean? Because to us, a tomb is final. To God, a tomb is nothing but a womb. It is the birthing canal. It is either the rebirth or it is the renewal. Lazarus goes in the tomb and he comes out. He's resurrected. Jesus goes in the tomb and he comes out resurrected. But it all requires us to locate our faith. The tomb, in the end, is an opportunity for God to bring about that which we think is dead into a greater expression of life, in a greater expression of his manifested power. Even our faith that's been on lockdown, the faith that you have placed in a tomb, God says, if you locate it, I can bring it back out. Because a tomb is nothing but a womb when you and I admit where our faith was lost, left, or lessened. Locate your faith. This is it. When my husband committed adultery, my faith was weak there. When my child was diagnosed with a sickness, my faith right there. When we lost our house, when COVID hit a family member or friend and they died, my faith was lessened there. And I don't want to just make it bad, and I'm going to move on to point number two. When I got blessed tremendously, you can move on and leave your faith because you start thinking it's all you. When I got a bigger house, when I was single but then I got married, my faith was weakened because now I got so consumed with the marriage, I forgot about the God who blessed me with the spouse. When I finally got the promotion, when I finally got the business deal, when I finally got the new title, when I finally got more benefits, it can be on the plus side that God has done something, and we forget God, and our faith is lessened. So if God is going to unlock my faith, I must, number one, locate my faith. Number two, watch this, eliminate my obstacle. Because Jesus says, not only do I want you to locate, but I want you to take away the stone. Take away the stone. Because Lazarus, in those days, they didn't have, like, you know, what we have. They would put bodies just in a tomb. The tomb would be just a cave and put a stone over it. Sometimes they would put multiple bodies in a cave with a stone over it. And so Jesus says, remove the stone. Now, this is important because the stone signified closing. The stone signified closing. Because if the stone wasn't over the mouth of the cave, then you would be reading, and I would be reading the sense of, okay, they are believing that Lazarus really can't come out. But by putting the stone over, that is like, it is final. It is done. This is sealed. This is over. Life now has to be lived without Lazarus. And Jesus says, take away the obstacle. Take away that which makes you think of, or take away that which speaks to the defeat of your faith. Take away that which to you, every time you see it, think it, or feel it, it signifies I didn't answer a prayer. Take away that which speaks to that you have interpreted as being the end, that speaks to unresolved hurt, that speaks to your frustration, that speaks to God didn't do this. Take away that obstacle. Now, hear me, and you're going to love me for this. There's always something we must remove from our lives before God can restore what's needed in our life. There's always something we must remove from our lives before God can restore what's needed in our lives. There's all, whether it's an attitude, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's a person, but there's always something God is going to say remove. Paul uses the language, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, he uses language more in the context of put off, put away, and then he says put on. There's always something to put off so that God can put what is right, so God can put what is true, so God can put what is helpful, so God can put what is beneficial. But first, there's always a putting off. There's always a removing of the obstacle that you and I have to deal with that speaks to the defeating of our faith. An attitude, a perception, an emotion, a conclusion, a habit, a place, a person, something we do, something we believe, something we say. God will always say, remove that. So then I can put back in your life what is really necessary and what is most needful. Because the obstacle is a hindrance to your faith and my faith being unlocked. Are you getting this? Am I making sense to you? I just want to make sure. Here's number three. Cooperate with God's promise. Cooperate with God's promise. Because Jesus says, didn't I tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? These words emphatically tells us that God's power and God's promise is not automatic in our lives. There's something we have to do. There's something we have to do. Because Martha was like, and Mary were like, nah, Jesus, this ain't gonna work. And he's like, but didn't I tell you, you will see if you believe. If you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. If you believe, you will see. This is the cooperation. Our faith is how we cooperate with the power, with the promise, and with the presence of God. His power, his promise, and his presence is not automatic. Faith in him is the investment you and I must make. God's power doesn't perform what I profess, but only what I believe. Because how many people you know in your sphere of life are talking like they're believers? And they may even be doing things that reflect being a believer. And what I've discovered in my own life is that I can do the Christian duty and not have the faith of being a Christian. Ooh, I can do the things of Christian duty, but not have the faith of being a Christian. And that is the investment. And then I'm wondering, why isn't God moving? Because I have the outward appearance of godliness, but not the substance of faith. And so I'm going through the motions. I can read the Bible, but not believe the Bible that I'm reading. I can lift my hands in worship, but don't have the faith that my worship makes a difference. I can do all those things. And Jesus says, didn't I tell you if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Now, let me bring this really home to Mary, Martha, because they waited on Jesus. They waited. So what we're really dealing with in this issue of cooperation is we're seeing how this invisible, underlining influence that weariness and tiredness can have on our faith. Because when we tell God and we make a request, we are full of expectations. Whom you love is sick. So now I am sitting outside. I am sitting on the porch waiting on Jesus because I know he's going to come because he loves me. His word said it. I'm serving in ministry. I've made a change in my life. I am committed to trying to live out the promises of God, the purposes of God. I am not conforming to this world. Yeah, I got some struggles. I know that. But my heart is for him. And so you're so excited on day one and day two. But then slowly, he ain't showing up. So now, you still go to the porch. You still go to church. Still read the Bible. But there's no faith when you show up. Now I'm just a shell out here looking apart. Because the weariness and the tiredness doesn't allow me to cooperate with God. No, not the external, but I'm talking about the faith. Because I can come to church and leave my faith at home. And so now I got to recognize if my faith is going to be unlocked, I got to cooperate with the promises of God. I got to make sure I know that God isn't going to answer my assumption and presumptions, but he's going to respond to the presence of my faith in him. Jesus says, didn't I tell you if you believe? And I know there are many of us right now. I know you're weary. I know you're tired. I know you've been longing for a long time. And you don't know much how much longer you can keep going believing God in this area. Believing God for the house. There are many of you who are single and you're tired of believing God for a spouse. And you're doing all the right things you know to do. You're keeping yourself pure. You're refusing to compromise the standards of righteousness and holiness. And you're seeing other people with lesser standards, lesser commitment. They are getting married and going on multiple dates. And you're just saying, God, is this really worth it? May I encourage you? May I speak to you? May I share to the person who wants to throw in the towel of the marriage? Because you're tired of believing for your spouse to change and for a better marriage. You want to give up on your kids. You want to give up on your business. May I come alongside and let you know right now, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, why you give me that verse? Because I want to let you know, even when your faith is fluctuating, there's a strength that God will give you to keep going. And you know how I know you won't give up or throw in the towel? because you haven't done it. That's how I know. Because the more you keep deliberating, the more you keep thinking about it, that's that part of you that says, try again. Because if you really were done, you would have been done a long time ago. But the fact that last week you said you're done and you're coming back this week and you're still trying to, that wrestle is affirmation that God says, you know I'm going to do it. So press through the tears, press through the hurt, press through the pain, press through the weariness, and just allow the refreshing of the Lord to remind you. Because you waited, you won't be disappointed. You got me? Because, hey, I'm with you. Just think about this building situation with me as being the pastor of DLC. I'm like, God, I am ready to go find me a Bank of America that's not being used and just go slap a DLC logo on it and say, this is our church. I'm ready to go find a Bojangles or Popeyes or anything and just and paint it our colors and say, this is our new location. But you know what I've discovered? I got to cooperate with the promise of God, no matter how tired I am. You got me? So I'm with you. Let me give you this last one. Cultivate my faith. Cultivate my faith. How to unlock my faith? Number one, locate my faith. Number two, eliminate my obstacle. Number three, cooperate with God's promises. Number four, cultivate my faith. Because once Jesus calls Lazarus from the dead, he says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, the story isn't over just because Lazarus is at the tomb. The story isn't over just because Lazarus came out of the tomb. And everybody, many times when people preach it, they love to just stop with Lazarus come out, you know, and that's it. But no, Jesus says, take the grave clothes off. Because Lazarus represents our faith that we've placed in a place of holding and lockdown, that God now calls our faith back into life. He calls it back, not just into existence, but back into life. And then notice what he says, loose it and let him go. Take the dead stuff that you wrapped your faith in, take it off. Take off that dead stuff, that dead thinking, that those dead relationships and voices around you. Get your faith away from everything that's dead. This is why I want to tell you this right here. If I will keep working my faith, then my faith will keep working for me. If I will keep working, unwrap him. That's cultivated. Unwrap. Because the unwrapping, little by little, take this cloth off. Take this little by little, unwrap your faith. That means get in the Word of God. Because the more you get in the Word of God, it's unwrapping the dead stuff that your faith is in. It's unwrapping dead thinking, dead stinking, wrong conclusions. It's an old season of life. And it's bringing you into the newness, into the freshness of everything that God has promised. Cultivate your faith. Work your faith by working the Word of God. Work your faith by working the Word of God. Dig into it. Study it. Memorize it. Say it. Stand on it. Obey it. Confess it. Meditate on it. Shout about it. Memorize it. Sing it. Because every time you do that, you're taking the dead stuff that's trying to wrap your faith up. You're telling the dead stuff, get off. And your faith is coming more alive. You see a little part of your faith is coming more alive. The next thing you know, you have more of lively faith than you have of dead stuff around you. Let me give you your big so what. The big so what is this right here. God can always unlock my faith in him as long as I unlock my heart to him. God can always unlock my faith in him as long as I unlock my heart to him. Because that is the foundation. As long as my heart doesn't close up to God, there's always hope for my faith. Unlock your heart and God is going to unlock the faith. Here is the take-home challenge. I want you to read Galatians, the fourth chapter. I want you to read that like two times this week. Galatians, the fourth chapter. Read that two times. Memorize John 11, 24 through 25. John 11, 24 through 25. Pray these points over your life. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, which one of these is my strongest area? Which one is my weakest area? Which one is my weakest area when it comes to my finances? Which one is my weakest areas when it comes to my professional life? Which one is my weakest area when it comes to my relationship? Spend some time, massage it, cultivate your faith, because we're on a faith journey, guys, and it's imperative that all of us are feeding our faith and unlocking our faith together. Listen to me. And of course, you know, the other part of the challenge, of course, at the end of the broadcast, you share this, but at the end, not now. Listen to me. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, it doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you do. Your faith has to be in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, where you believe, not in your own goodness, your own righteousness, but where you exercise faith in recognizing, man, the only way I am qualified for God's best, for eternal life, is by me recognizing my faith has to be in what He has done, not what I do for myself. How do I believe? I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was resurrected by God. He's at the right hand of the Father, and one day He's going to come back and spend eternity with me. That's it. Well, I don't feel in it. Don't go by your feelings. It's faith. That's what qualifies me and you to spend eternity with Him, and then to have God's best on earth, to see His promises in reality invade my life in such a way that I live life better than anything that I can do in my own ability, because it's His ability now working in me on earth. And if that's you, if that's your heart's desire, if that's a prayer that you have said, I want you to just type salvation in a comment line. If your faith has been locked, but today you're saying, know what, I'm coming back to my relationship and it's being restored and renewed, I want you to type rededication. And then finally, if you don't have a church home and you're interested in learning more about Discover Life Church, who we are, our mission, our vision, our values, and you're saying, just as soon as you guys come together as a corporate family, physically, I'm there. Until then, I'm there with you Zoom and online. I want you to type membership. Even if you're in a different state, we're in the process of building our e-campus, online campus, because when we get our building, we're not going to stop the online ministry. That's going to still be as vibrant, effective, and matter of fact, next level. So if you're interested online too, just type in membership. I want you to know that we love you and we're here for you. And in this series of Unlocking Our Faith, I am believing God that faith that has been stymied, stuck, challenged, that has been stranded and even sifted will be made whole, and that you and I are going to regain our vibrancy and potency for believing God at the level of His power, not at the level of our fears, frustration, problems, dead ends, or deadlines. Because you know what? Our God specializes in calling dead things back to life, even our faith. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. Now seal your word in our hearts so that our faith may cause us to prevail and triumph in you like we know it should. And where we're stranded and where we're strained in our faith, I thank you for making us whole and putting us back together. Forgive us of conclusions that you didn't answer prayer. Forgive us for pain and hurt that we refuse to submit to your greatness and to your sovereignty. Not only do you answer prayer, but you bring healing. And sometimes that healing is trusting you beyond explanation. So on this day, we locate our faith. We remove obstacles. We cooperate with you. And we cultivate our faith by saying, our God is not a man that he would lie. Everything that he has purposed and everything he's promised shall come to pass in our lives according to his timing and according to his way. Strengthen our heart in the waiting process. And while we're waiting, we will sing of the Lord's goodness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.